Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 142, the stanzas 1 and 2. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now and what follows. Psalter 142, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 1, the verses 26 through 56. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 1, the verses 26 through 56. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's Day we attempt to open as a people our unclean lips, to draw nigh unto thee in prayer, then each time by renewal the necessity, what the disciples have prayed, Lord, teach us to pray, that we may be filled with that awe and with that reverence. We need faith to believe that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask and think, above all that we ask or think. Then we need to have an abiding, a deep impression of our many and great needs, and then only possible to be heard, for the sake of thy dear Son. Then it behooves us to come unto thee with all our blessings. They are so manifold, undeserved, forfeited, and given above most of the people upon the face of the earth. to come unto thee with our desires. With the prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And concerning good and lawful desires, that they may be in moderation, because we are so carnal and earthly, and all for that living desire. Ah, Lord, were dismissed, wilt thou work it, and where thou wast given those desires, they need to be enlivened each time by renewal. Oh, the sweet psalmist of Israel has prayed, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Oh, to come with our great and manifold sins, which need to be forgiven, ah, Lord. We need grace to pray for grace, to receive grace, to use grace, and to end in grace. Thou knowest most perfectly how that everyone has come up to thy house. We have heard from the song of Mary of those hungry ones. Ah, may hungry and thirsty souls, burdened souls, needy souls, desiring souls, ah, may there be a soul, may there be souls, that may hear in this evening hour, when we are called to consider, to meditate upon the birth of thy dear Son. But unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ah, Lord, we have heard out of thy word that thou wast remembered and visited thy church. Ah, there was that young Mary that has received a visit, that has received such a marvelous revelation, and by thy spirit faith to embrace it, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it according to thy word. And then we have heard of the communion of saints, and of a praising, and of a singing church, ah, Lord. May those matters be experienced in this evening hour in thy house. Then it shall be good, and then it shall be unforgettable. Lord, where those true desires are missed after thee in thy righteousness, may it please thee to show them in this very hour how poor and wretched they are. But with thee there is forgiveness. Wilt thou grant the further leadings in this passion season? Lord, do bless thy word in the church, in the family circles, and in our Christian school. It all awaits for thy blessing. We have heard it out of thy word, that thou shalt work through the generations, but, ah, Lord, it needs to be experienced. So we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, the established churches. Wilt thou remember all those that labor in thy vineyard, thy servants, elders, deacons. Remember the student. May the number of thy servants be multiplied, and may it please thee to grant more teachers for our Christian schools. Oh, do uphold the persecuted church, as thou wast promised in thy word. Take the veil off the Jewish nation, and remember all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember our poor nation, remember our leaders, federally, provincially. Oh, impress it upon their hearts, ah, Lord. Open their eyes that they may see, be given to understand what a responsible task they have received and what a terrible thing it is when leaders are instruments that lead the inhabitants further and further away from the word of the King of Kings. Wilt thou yet grant repentance what is needful for the leaders, that is needful for the inhabitants. We live in solemn and serious times. May we be given to perceive it, and by thy grace be given to seek that one thing needful. Wilt thou remember our province where in the future elections have been planned. May it please thee to show mercy. Lord, by renewal, then we commend unto thee the many temporal needs. Wilt thou continue to provide for the daily bread in the midst of the family circles. Remember widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Remember our elderly ones, those that may still go in and out, those in our care home, with those that may care for them. Oh, above all things, grant that one thing needful. Remember all the afflicted, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember the sick relatives. Remember the handicapped. Bless the family circles with love, where the love is waxing cold. Wilt thou grant repentance what has been separated, bring it together. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this evening hour. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the hearers, from the youngest to the oldest. Open our ears and open our hearts. Lord, do remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O convert us as thou doth convert all thy people. We need as a poor sinner to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 448, the stanzas 1 and 2. Blessed be the God of Israel, the Lord who visited his own, who by his gracious providence, redemption unto us made known. And what follows, Psalter 448, the stanzas 1 and 2. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, the question and answers 35 and 36. Question 35, what is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Question 36, what profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. The Lord's Day 14 speaks of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, an incomprehensible birth. Secondly, a holy birth. And thirdly, a comforting birth. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, an incomprehensible birth, a holy birth, and a comforting birth. Thus first, an incomprehensible birth. And that word incomprehensible, boys and girls, that means something that we cannot understand with our mind. We have, God's word is not a doctrine that can be understood, but it must be believed. And then in this evening, it concerns the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And then we have mentioned several times, and I think now even our boys and girls can remember it, not the very small ones, but the ones that are a little older, that the mediator, that is one that brings two parties together, that he must be known in his names, in his natures, his offices, his states, and in his benefits. Then in the past Lord's days, then we have considered a few of those names, the personal name, Jesus, Savior, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And Christ, that is anointed to a threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. Thus, in Lord's Day number 12, then we have also considered the offices of Christ. In Lord's Day number 13, we have considered the only begotten Son of God, our Lord, There we have considered his divinity, that the mediator was truly God, and that is so necessary for a people that learn how lost they are. Oh, we have heard in this morning of that notable prisoner, Barabbas. And when we think of prison, then we think of two types of prisoners. And by nature, through our deep fallen Adam, and by your actual sins, we are both. Then we speak of prisoners of state. They are people, boys and girls, that have done something very bad and arrested by the police and placed in prison and there to be punished for their deeds. I hope that we may be kept out of prison at least because of our sins. We are approaching a time that people shall be placed in prison for righteousness' sake when they listen to God more than man. But then we also speak of prisoners of war. When there is war and the enemy captures soldiers, then they take them home and they place them in prison and maybe place them in a work camp. And now through our original and actual sin, we have become a prisoner of war because we have listened to the Satan, and we are also a prisoner under the law. And then what a great Savior is needed to bring those prisoners out of prison. Oh, I hope that there are such spiritual prisoners in my midst and that many may be made so. What I mean, that it may become reality in our life and that we receive a deep impression of our sins and our lost state and that separation of a good-doing and a righteous God. We have quoted that text out of Psalm 102 of the groaning of the prisoner and those that are appointed unto death. Oh, then in this evening, then what a precious Lord's Day, because in this evening it is declared, but unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I read in Hebrews 7 verse 25 that he is able to save to the uttermost. And to that end, he needed to be born. And now on this Lord's Day, then there is spoken of the human nature of the mediator, but also the beginning of the states. When we speak of the states of the mediator, then we speak of the relationship that Jesus has stood before his Father judicially. And now in the state of his humiliation, then he is stood guilty because he was willing to take all the sins of his people upon him. Thus in this evening hour, then we have the first step also of the state of his humiliation and the birth as such. And that is not really one of those steps because that belongs more to the qualification of the mediator. But because it was such a humble birth, then it is also one of the steps of his humiliation. And when we speak of those steps, then boys and girls, then you can picture a stairs with different steps. And then when we speak of those five steps of the humiliation of the mediator, then they go deeper and deeper. And in the state of his exaltation, then he was acquitted. And then those steps, they go higher and higher. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost. Job is asked in Job 14, verse 14, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And then Job has immediately added, not one. And that has now been the case for 4,000 years, that each child that was conceived and born, it was conceived and born in sin. But now in our Lord's day, based upon the Holy Scriptures, then it speaks of one, the eternal Son of God, that he has become man by the operation of the Holy Spirit, and he was a clean one. Then we have heard in Lord's Day number 6, the necessity that the mediator was not only God, but that he was also man. Then in the first place, the Lord is so pure in his justice that he shall never punish another nature for the sin which we have committed. In the second place, then it was necessary that the mediator, that he would obey the law perfectly, that we call the act of obedience of Christ. Then thirdly, then he must be truly man, that he would be able to suffer and to die for his children, that he would be their substitute, that the children of God may go free. Then further, then it was necessary that the Scriptures would be fulfilled, and that he would be of the seed of David, that he would be that near kinsman. And in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, there we read of a sympathizing high priest for the church. And now concerning Christ becoming man, that is such a deep mystery, so unfathomable, that we cannot understand it with our human mind, but necessary for the saving of the church, and clearly declared in the Scriptures. John 1, verse 14, for the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Thus then, when we speak that Christ, that is the second person of the Trinity, that he has assumed our human nature, then we do not speak of the uniting of two persons, but then we speak that the second person, that he has assumed our human nature, and yet each retaining, all boys and girls, that is difficult. The second and third point, that shall become easier. But concerning that union, then God remained God and man remained man. then each retained their divine attributes and properties. And then we must not make the mistake that is possible that our children in this evening perhaps think that the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was his divinity, but that is clearly not so. His human nature that consisted of body and of soul, and yet in union of one person, because I read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And yet, on account of that union, then the human body, the human nature, let us speak of his knowledge. And then it is clear from the scriptures, when Christ has walked upon this earth, that his knowledge has exceeded the knowledge of men and angels, that at times his omniscience shone forth, that he knew all things, but that was because of that close union between the second person assuming the human nature, and therefore he had the preeminence. And now concerning this union between the second person and the human nature, it was never separated, even at death. And then it is clear in the scriptures, the humanity of Christ that is proven in many different ways. He was born, he ate, he was tired, he slept on the ship, he was weary, he was given to rejoice, and he was given to weep. He has suffered and he has died when body and soul were separated. Concerning his soul, we read in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And concerning that mystery, Paul has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And concerning that mystery, that unfathomable mystery, then already early in the church, errors have crept in. And therefore the old John, then he has written in 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. There was an Apollinaris that has taught that the soul that was the divinity of Christ. There was a Marian that has taught that Christ did not really have a body like we do, but that there was an appearance of the flesh. And Menno Simons troubled to reconcile the scriptures, and concerning the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has come to the conclusion that Jesus has went through Mary as water has went through a pipe. But if that was the case, then he has not assumed the flesh of the human race. And then he could not be the mediator, because the Lord in his justice, he must punish the same nature. Young and old may ask you, how is it now with your sins? Are you busy with them? Are you exercised with them? Oh, have your sins become a burden, an unbearable burden? Have you learned to groan and to cry, On account of your sins, have you tried to satisfy the justice of God? Oh, in this Lord's day, and then a Savior is declared, and that is merited such a full and a free salvation, where he has suffered to the uttermost, he has died, he has cried out, it is finished, and there is redemption for the church. Our second thought, a holy birth. And then we read, the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, a sin accepted. The psalmist in Psalm 139 verse 14 has said, and we may also see it as a messianic psalm, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was hid in the secret, when I was made. My substance was hid when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. And that, of course, is true of each child. What a wonderful creation. What a wonderful gift. But more so concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was not brought upon this earth in an ordinary way between a husband and wife. But then we have read it together. Ah, that Virgin Mary. She received a visit from the angel Gabriel with such a precious words. Oh, I hope there were souls with such a vehement desire. If I would now hear those words, God's house, in this you have heard them. Precious words, that she has found favor with God, and that she would be an instrument, that she would become the mother, of course, only one Virgin Mary. But when we speak of the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then we can draw many lines. And then when the angel Gabriel has related to her that she would become the mother of the Lord, and his name must be called Jesus, then she could honestly say she knew no man. How could it be? And then the angel has answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Thus a wonderful conception. It excluded a husband. And to that end, the child Jesus, the Holy Ghost, has also sanctified the womb of Mary, and therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Because if Christ was born in an ordinary way, then he would be conceived and born in sin, have original sin, and that guilt he would have to suffer and die for his own sin. Thus the church, does not only need concerning the Savior a holy life, act of obedience, that Christ obeys the law for them, that they may receive eternal life, but they also need a holy birth. Thus the church needs a holy birth, a holy life, and an atoning death, that they may be saved from all their sins. And now the instructors, that he might also be the true seed of David, had to be like unto his brethren, sin accepted. The mother promise in Genesis 3 verse 15, the seed of the woman in Genesis 12 verse 3, then we read that the seed of Abram, wherein all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In Genesis 49, then Father Jacob is prophesied that the promised seed would come from the tribe of Judah. Oh, it is true. When Aaliyah has received a Judah, then she was given to sing, "Now I will praise the Lord." That is the name of Judas. But on the deathbed of Jacob, then in Israel, in the way of prophecy, by the work, by the Holy Spirit, and then he was given to prophesy that the promised seed would come out of Judah, that Shiloh would come before the scepter had departed from Judah. And in 2 Samuel 7, when David was busy with the house for the Lord, and where Nathan has returned, said that his son would build a house, then the Lord has given that special promise that the Lord would build David a house. And there it was implied that the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that he would come out of the family circle of David. And the devil has tried everything in his power, because that mother promise in Genesis 3 verse 15, that was actually spoken to the devil in the presence of Adam and Eve. And to that end, the devil has tried everything in his power that that seed would be destroyed. Abel was killed. Think of Pharaoh, boys and girls. All the boys must be cast into the Nile, so that the Savior would not be born. David was persecuted by Saul. Athaliah, when the Lord gives men over for a grandmother to try to murder all her seed. But the Lord has spared the Jewish. Think of the book of Esther, how that Haman, the decree has been sealed that the Jewish nation would be destroyed. And when Jesus was born, then Herod has tried to murder him. Of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, it is clear the Roman Catholic Church errs come slowly. In the year 400, then in the church, Mary was called the Mother of God. That's how it began. Not scripture language. Then in the year about 600, then they were allowed, or even said, that they should pray to Mary. And in the year 1854, the church has made the statement that Mary was born and conceived without sin. But it is clear from the scriptures that Mary was also a sinner. Original and actual sins. We have heard it out of her song, where she has said, I will rejoice in God my Savior. And now concerning this wonderful birth in the fields of Ephratah, then we read of a great multitude, the angel, to the shepherds, they have announced it. O congregation, the angel has spoken of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Thus there is not one in this evening that can say, it is not possible for me. No. A message, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, all nations. Thus, what a wonderful message for us and our children. But that message is not enough. Boys can understand it. If you have a serious disease and you hear there is a doctor that is able to treat, and with the Lord's blessing, to heal that disease, then just to hear that message, then you shall not be satisfied. Then you shall say, Father and Mother, can you take me to that doctor that I may be healed and that I do not have to die? What a precious message. The birth of the Savior, a gift of the Father, not given one of the holy angels, but his dear Son, his only Son, that he may come upon the world. And John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And what is now our trouble, congregation? What is now your trouble, our trouble, by nature? Do you know what a trouble is? That we have not experienced. Oh, we know that we are sinners. I would ask each one, and even the children will put up their hands and agree that we sin in many ways, but does not grieve us. We can continue to live with it. Have not the right impression of the attributes of that good doing, that just and righteous God. And therefore, my unconverted fellow travelers, I'll place yourself where it may be declared the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The wages of sin is death. And where it may be declared, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus was born to save sinners. Have you now become a sinner? Oh, are there sinners in my midst, so burdened? Know what it is to be in prison. Many riddles and many questions. Have learned that they are black and vile. Oh, then in this Lord's day, what a precious proclamation. 'Tis declared what the angel has declared unto the shepherds. Oh, and that was so personal. And that is what the true people of God need, and that is what they desire. They need a personal message, and that is applied in their hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, that they may not only believe, but that they must believe. Oh, then in this Lord's day, in the humble birth of the Savior, then the angel is said unto the shepherds, but unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Concerning the conception and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is the work of a triune God, the work of the Father, because we read in Hebrews 10 verse 5, He prepared Him a body. The work of the Holy Ghost, as we have read out of Luke 1 verse 35, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the work of the Son, that He was made flesh, and that He was willing to come upon this earth, willing to be born as a little, helpless infant child. Our third thought, a comforting birth. Let us first sing. Psalter 263, the three stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. And what follows, Psalter 263, the three stanzas. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, an incomprehensible birth, a holy birth, and now thirdly, a comforting birth. What profit dost thou receive by Christ holy conception and nativity? Thus, that is a very personal question. What does the birth of Christ mean to us? We have spoken of sin. When we are brought up under the truth, then there are all times that we are troubled by our sins. Right, congregation? One more, the one less, a speaking conscience. But may I now ask you, concerning our sins, is it now accompanied with love? Because I read in Galatians 5 verse 6 that faith worketh by love. And on account of that love shed abroad in the heart for the Lord, then there is that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. And when the Lord begins, then he also implants that grace of hope in the soul. And therefore such a soul does not despair. They are given to receive many precious gifts, to experience the sweetness of the service of the Lord. But with all those gifts, still a guilty sinner. And now the instructor, then the answer upon the question concerning that prophet, that is by true saving faith, there are degrees of knowledge and of assurance. But then the answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Covers in the sight of God. It is still a privilege and a blessing when we try to, when there is still a shame, when we sin before man. Still a blessing when our children do their best to obey their parents, husbands and wives, the proper place, that there is still a shame, because we live in such a shameless time when sin seems to be no sin anymore. That's still a privilege when we may still have a tender conscience. But now our instructors, they speak in the sight of God, that all-knowing and all-seeing God. And now our instructor is given to speak of original sin. It is the ordinary way when the Lord begins, that we first become busy with our actual sins, which we commit in thought, word, and deed. We have different examples in the scripture. Think of that Samaritan woman. Then Christ has asked her to bring her husband, and then she was given to confess the sin of the seventh commandment. Think on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles, they have preached that they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 3, the verses 14 and 15, when Peter was given to preach to the people after the healing of the lame man, then Peter has pointed them to a special actual sin which they have not forgotten. And then we read in verse 14, but ye deny the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted, and that was Barabbas, that they have chosen Barabbas above the Lord Jesus Christ, and killed the Prince of Life. Thus then Peter was given to lay very plain before them their special actual sin, which they have not forgotten, and when they have cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. But that was not the end of the preaching. Then Peter has also preached, and that comes to us in this evening hour. In verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And they may be blotted out through that child Jesus that was born in a stable, laid in a manger. Young and old, how is it? Every week, we come a week closer to eternity. Every week, a week of grace gone by where the Lord, where he speaks, where he calls, where he invites, and for each of us, can also be for the young, can be the last week. And then the one thing needful, oh, if we may have that comfort, we may be born again and our sins blotted out, then the day is a blessing when the Lord may spare many years, when the Lord may use us in the family circles, church, in the school, when we may be used for the Lord's coming. But there is that one thing needful. But now in the answer, my sins wherein I was conceived and brought forth. We have given different examples that can be multiplied out. Think of Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But when we speak of the actual sins, and when souls are exercised therewith, and when the Lord works, we become very exercised. Oh, then we learn how terrible sin is. The character, the guilt, the punishment, then we do our best to improve our life, hoping to satisfy the Lord, and that he may open the prison doors for us. But now it is so necessary in the life of grace that we do not only learn that we do sin, but on account of our original sin, that we are nothing but sin. And then it becomes so hopeless. We can have a tree with a rotten root where it does not grow so well, and we can try to prune it and fertilize it and dig it. But if the root is becoming rotten, then it shall not be well with the tree. And now it is so necessary that we learn no fruit from this tree forevermore, that it becomes a holy impossibility from the sinner's sight, and yet a holy necessity. Lord, is there now a way for such a hopeless case? Is there now a way to be saved? Because, oh Lord, I cannot miss thee. And then the instructors, they are given to speak of the comfort for the child of God, that Christ, that he was born as a holy child, and so covers in the sight of God, because we can hide nothing, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Then in this Lord's day, behold the child. Isaiah 7 verse 14, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel. That means God with us. All for the child Jesus. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in the original and actual sins of his people. Oh, he was born in a dark stable, that he might be the light for his church. We read of him in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 21, and those are profound words, that he who knew no sin, that he was made sin. And in Galatians 3 verse 13, that he was made a curse. The prophet, the wonder of the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a rich gospel for sinners. And what is now necessary? What has happened to Mary in the way of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That needs to happen to us. That the power of the highest, the work of the Holy Ghost that overshadows us. And Mary, she became an expecting mother. Activity could only be hid for so long. And then it was necessary for Mary, together with Joseph, that they would come from Nazareth and that they would come to Bethlehem, where the child was born. Oh, it is true. Between Nazareth and Bethlehem, there are valleys, there are mountains, but the child was born. His name shall be called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And this Lord's Day is declared what the psalmist has exclaimed in Psalm 45 verse 2, that he is fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon his lips. And then for the child of God, when by the work of the Spirit, when it may be opened up, when it may be revealed, then they may simply say what we read in Luke 1 verse 37, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Few simple words to speak. Wilt thou forgive everything that was sinful and amiss, and speaking and in hearing, who was able to declare that unfathomable wonder, the birth of the Savior, that sinners may be saved, O Lord. Work lovingly, irresistibly, by thy Holy Spirit, in the hearts of young and old, where thou wast not begun, O do begin, because there needs to be a beginning, and where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant us further leadings, Nazareth to Bethlehem, and to Jerusalem. Lord, we may commence in other week. Ah, do spare us all. There is only a step between us and death. Then thou grantest yet the time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee. Wilt thou so remember the mothers in the home, the daytime, the night watches. Remember all at work. Remember at school, also our students, studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou keep them? Wilt thou watch over us on the way? Wilt thou keep us under thy kind care and protection? Keep us from sin and from evil. Grant a prayer for one another. Wilt thou also graciously supply for the coming Sabbath day? Wilt thou remember and help the consistory? Remember those that have an active part, our doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, and others that may help. Lord, wilt thou graciously return us to our homes. Watch over us in this night. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 176, the first and the second stanza. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows, Psalter 176, the first two stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.